whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
As promised, the young, talented Darren Dreger, hockey insider from TSN, is with us. Hi, Dregs. How are you?
Strike two on both counts. Young, talented.
It's a new year, buddy. I'm pumping your tires.
Dregs, I have a question for you before we go into the really deep dive into trade speculation. So I asked on social media last night, what is your most memorable robbery moment, right, as a Sabre player or broadcaster? Because he's going in the Hall of Fame at the end of the month, the Sabres Hall of Fame, and I want to have fun with him on the broadcast and bring up some memories. So what do you think is the most memorable, like, robbery moment that you would recall from his time playing?
Oh, time playing is the outlier there, because, you know, I mean, he was one of the toughest guys around, obviously, and you know, a little bit older than me, not a whole lot, but I'm still old school. I appreciate just the theater and the energy that comes out of a spontaneous tilt on occasion. We don't see it nearly as often as we once did in the era that Rob Ray played when he was in his prime, where every team had two or three of those type of guys, right? So it's near impossible to pinpoint one.
I mean, know that he's scored a big goal against Domi Ray has definitely won. They went at it. They actually fought in the hotel room the night before their draft, right? So that's where it all started. Like, it started before they even got drafted. You know, he scored a goal against the Leafs in the conference finals in 99, which was great. You know, a lot more of the fan base are bringing up fights, but also when he got hit with a puck this year, in between the benches, he was split open.
Yeah, that was the one that came to mind.
That was one.
Yeah, that came to mind when you started asking the question, but then you had to add the qualifier in his playing days. Instantly, it was like, didn't he just take one between the eyes not that long ago? And I mean, it barely even stunned him. He's such a tough dude, right? Like, there's no way
in the third period, he's like, just patch me up. I'm good to go. Let's go.
One of the great characters of the game, I'll say that, when he played. And, you know, now as he completes his duties as an analyst, he's terrific. Ooh.
Well, let me do a segue here because of trade talks. Sabres obviously may be in some trade talk. We talked about Elias Pettersson and JT Miller a lot. And could you throw in Rob Ray in a sweetener and say, hey, we're throwing in Rob Ray in the deal to make it happen? Would that carry a lot of weight in trying to acquire an Elias Pettersson?
Well, it might for Rick Tocchet, because I'm sure there's a level of appreciation, again, playing in that era. But now, you know what? It's the whole storyline of Elias Pettersson that dates back to Buffalo and then shifted over to, you know, a number of different clubs, right? And more recently, it's been more about Carolina, in fact, than it has been about others. Is a fascinating study. And the reason we're all over it is because, you know, the Canucks seem to want to push it out to the forefront. And maybe not the trade speculation, but the obvious disconnect, rift, if you want to call it that, between JT Miller and Elias Pettersson. I mean, when you've got your coach and you've got management and you've got your captain and Quinn Hughes talking about it and acknowledging, you know, this call it an issue, I don't know, whatever it is, between two top players, well, that then fuels the speculation. It doesn't expose it in hopes of it going away. I think it elevates, you know, the level of talk coast to coast. So what kind of started as a bit of an eye roll, local story, so this player doesn't like his teammate. Oh, well, that's not new. That's age-old, Marty, as you know better than anybody. I mean, that's just the dynamic of being a professional, no matter what industry you work in. But it's all quiet on the Buffalo front, I can tell you that. And as soon as I say that, you watch. Adams will drop the hammer later tonight or tomorrow with a bigger deal. But his position remains the same. Of course, Kevin is open to change and making a significant trade if the fit is there. But guys, just look around the Eastern Conference. I mean, Buffalo's in last place in the East, but they're only 7 points out of a wild card spot, yeah. right? I mean,
right.
the logjam is really what gums up the trade activity. And when trade activity is gummed up, guess what that means? That means more wild scenarios and speculation positioned by media. And inevitably, we have to ask the questions. We've got to, in certain cases, refute some of the stuff that's been reported. But inevitably, we talk about it because that's what the fans want to hear.
Well, who's going to be first out the door in Vancouver?
Well, I think it would probably be Elias Pettersson. And it might only be because of the contractual protection here. And people forget that, right? So JT Miller has a full no-move clause. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people just will not let go of the fact that they think, media people, that he's going to end up in New York with the New York Rangers. And that may very well be the case. But again, every time I check, which is on a regular basis, the Canucks have not approached JT just yet. Maybe they do. Maybe it happens relatively soon. In Pettersson's profile, you will not find the no move clause. Not yet. That doesn't kick in until July. So that gives Patrick Galvin and Jim Rutherford a little bit more flexibility. And guys, I understand why management, maybe the coaching staff, have had enough of this, right? I mean, it's hard enough winning games in the NHL, let alone trying to put out internal fires and juggling everything that you have to juggle and all of that. But what happens if Elias Pettersson, who's real close, coming back from injury, right, steps into the lineup and is really, really good? Now, he's talked about how he needs to be better. He knows this. So what if he brings something else aside from the creative offensive side that he can bring? Maybe there's just a bit more aggressiveness in his game, a willingness to go to areas, protect the puck, battle for the puck. Well, that doesn't happen in Vancouver, but it happens in Carolina, or it happens in Detroit, or it happens somewhere else with all the speculation. Vancouver Canucks may look back on this one and go, maybe we should have waited until the offseason around the draft to make sure that we knew what we were getting.
So it seems like the center position is a focus right now when you look around the league. Like, you know, there's a lot of names. Yanni Gord, Michael Granlund, Dylan Cousins, the Pettersson Miller. Like, there's a lot of centers that are involved in trade talks. So where do you think that leaves – you know, the Sabres at with, you know, I think Dylan Cousins has been rumored, but they all just in that sense, where does that leave? Because the market is flooded with centers that may be available.
Right. And, you know, of course, if you're Vancouver and you're trading out JT Miller or Elias Pettersson, you know, obviously you've got to get a center back, I would think, in a trade like that. And that's why initially, even though it was highly refuted way back when the rumor was generated around Buffalo and Vancouver, it did make some sense. Because from Vancouver's perspective, if, capital IF, you're getting Bo Byram and Dylan Cousins, man, that covers two significant bases that you are looking to cover in Vancouver, especially if it's Pettersson going out the other way. I'm still of the belief, and this is through sourcing, that Buffalo doesn't want to trade Dylan Cousins. Everybody's going to have him on a trade bait graphic. I think TSN's comes out tomorrow, the trade bait list. And I loathe this on an annual basis, but I participate because I want it to be as valid, as relevant, and as factual as possible. Well, okay, Dylan Cousins is going to be on that list. He's not going to be anywhere near as high as some others have him on their list. Because for me, it's clickbait. Now, Kevin Adams isn't trading Dylan Cousins unless he gets exactly back what he needs. And now we're going to sing that song about, well, he's a top player. I need a top player. The top player I see on your team, you'd want to trade. So we can't agree on top players. So that brings us back to where we are today. So is it possible Cousins get traded? Sure. There wouldn't be many teams in the league that don't have an interest in Dylan Cousins, but is someone willing to step up and pay the price that Adams has to get to even consider making that move? And I'm not so sure yet.
How close, Marty just kind of mentioned, I think, one or two names, Yanni Gord for sure. But, like, how close do you think Seattle is to moving off of A, players who are on expiring contracts, and or B, even players beyond that based on, let's say, the lack of progress this year in what was supposed to be a bounce back year.
Yeah, and the deflect here, Duffer, is always the same. It's like, okay, what makes them better? And that's the question that Francis would ask of his group. And most teams are going into their amateur and their pro scouting meetings now, right? Very near future, in the next week to 10 days or so. And that's something that they'll all chew on in some way, shape, or form. But certainly an underachieving team like Seattle. And I think that Francis is shrewd. And I think that he is meticulous when it comes to making trades like this, because it can't be about just the now. I'm sure that he's got some level of pressure from that ownership group and senior management. You know, they're trying to develop a real rabid hockey market in Seattle. That's what the hope is. You know, the rivalry geographically with Vancouver, is it there? No, it's not there yet. And it probably wouldn't get there until Seattle, you know, takes a bite out of the playoffs, and they're not there right now. So I could see that. The debate that I'm hearing among GMs out there, though, guys, and this will impact the return for Yanni Gourde. What is he? At this stage of his career, is he a fourth-line center or is he a third-line center? On a good team, he's probably a number four. So maybe that hurts them. Maybe that helps them a little bit. I don't know. But, another team that I'm looking at, and I think I mentioned his name, as part of the group that, the Toronto Maple Leafs and all teams that were in the market for a center would look at, is Utah. And right. Nick Bjugstad, right? Mm-hmm. Most of the class of centers that we think are available, we're looking at Scott Laughton. I mean, if Philadelphia can get a first-round pick for him, and that's a big if again, he's a 6'1" center. Ryan Strome, the Anaheim Ducks, is intriguing to me. Again, a 6'1" center. If you're the Maple Leafs, coached by Craig Berube, your number three guy, you want him to be big, and you want him to be a guy who's capable of playing a heavy game. Well, Nick Bjugstad, if Utah is willing to consider moving him, ticks a lot of boxes, I think. 6'5", he can play that heavier game. So, as there's so much parity across the league, primarily the logjam in the East, but as the games drift away here in the second half, you'll start to see more of the lines widening as to these players who are truly in play versus those who are in play via media and speculation.
Dregs, we saw Frankie Vetrano signing a contract with deferred money. Half of his contract was deferred to 10 years down the road, 900,000 a year for 10 years starting in 2035. Is this the equalizer of sort to say, hey, you know what? You're in California, higher taxes. Let's defer it because you're not going to get taxed as much when you move somewhere else. And Buffalo, right. New York, other teams may be able to utilize that even more now with the deferred money.
Yeah, maybe. Again, that equalization issue is going to be a significant one moving forward, at least for a number of teams, not for all teams. And by all, I mean the teams who are in the tax-friendly states and markets are going to push back, because why would we have to do that? We shouldn't have to do that. There are other ways to remedy. This deferral thing is interesting. It's certainly on the radar of the NHL, as Pierre LeBrun talked about on Insider Trading earlier this week. I don't think it's as big an issue, because I would say the majority of player agents don't like it. Just because, look, I don't know what you guys are like. It's none of my business what you do with your money. I know what I do. I want my money. I want my money now so I can invest my money to do what I want with my money. How does Vetrano and Peter Fish, how do they know what the tax world is going to look like 10 years from now? I mean, in my opinion, it's a sketchy proposition. And from a Canadian perspective, and this isn't a Canadian issue, but it gets even more tricky. What I'm hearing more and more about is the retirement compensation agreement. It's short as the RCA. So the deferral and the RCAs are going to become more and more relevant, especially with older players, and Vetrano isn't that. But, John Tavares, do I think that there's going to be an RCA element or a deferral element if he stays in Toronto? For sure. But that's a player clearly in the back nine who wants to stay in a certain market. So we'll see how it all applies to the CBA talks moving forward, but it will be discussed.
I was going to say the check's in the mail, Dregs, but good for you. Canada Post has started back up right before Christmas. So for a month and a half, you've been waiting for your check. So I'm sorry if it didn't get to you.
No, I just got it, actually. Probably 4 or 5 days ago. So it was good.
I'm glad it's working.
I mean, hey, if I hadn't received it, I would have signed on and then you'd have been staring at an empty chair, but we're all good now.
I have a feeling we may utilize your clip from a couple of minutes ago, into your, maybe the intro to your segment from now on. Like, I like the money. I want it now.
I want it now. I like my money.
Oh, man. That's good. There, one last one based on all the teams and speculation and stuff. I saw another Zegras mention and Philadelphia. What would the chances of that be?
Ooh, it would be fabulous.
Mitch Cobb and Zegras. Oh.
Torts, his head would be spinning on his shoulders on the bench. I don't know, to be honest. I don't know if that's just, again, speculation and fodder based on where we're at in the season. Sure. I do know that Pat Verbeek is clearly open to absolutely anything. But back to the Vetrano scenario, part of the reasoning behind the Anaheim Ducks kind of encouraging Vetrano to take what they did is because they openly state that they're going to be a cap team in the not too distant future. Well, how are you doing that other than overpaying certain players? But there's a strong appetite to get better sooner than later. And, but every time I check in on Zegras from a hockey standpoint, they want to sing his praise and that he's working hard to get more all rounded. Mm-hmm. But if somebody makes that right offer, I'm sure Verbeek listens.
Darren, great to see you as always. We'll see you again next week.
Hey, guys, have a good one. In fact, have a great weekend.
Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider from TSN, will wrap up Sabres Live after this.